Hi there, Duke fans. Welcome to DBR Bites, episode number 24 of the Duke Basketball Roundup. I am Jason Evans. I'll be hosting on this shortened journey. We just have a couple little topics we want to get to right now. And then, by the way, we promise we've got a big mailbag episode coming. We're going to record it in just a little bit. It'll be in your feed probably in the next 24 hours or so. So be ready for that. But in the meantime, there are a couple things we wanted to get on really fast and talk about. Joining me, as always, Donald Wine and Sam Klein. Donald, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. And Jason, you know what? I'm going to take the liberty at the top of the show to announce a new partnership that I know the three of us are excited about, and hopefully people out there will be as excited as well. Home Field Apparel is a new partner of the Duke Basketball Roundup. Yes, Home Field Apparel. They do a lot of cool stuff for colleges, and they just actually, maybe a month or two ago, got into Duke and were able to get Duke gear now through Home Field Apparel. So we have an affiliate link, and you can link to that. We also, as I mentioned before on previous episodes, we do have a Fanatics affiliate link as well. So you can get all your Duke gear through us. How do you do that? Go to linktree.com/DBR podcast. We have affiliate links for both Fanatics and for Home Field Apparel. And if you use the code DBR podcast, using that affiliate link on Home Field Apparel, you get 15% off your purchase, and you can use that on anything on the site. So far be it for me to say you should only get Duke gear. You should. But if you also are an alum of other schools like I am, if you're not like Sam and you don't hate the ACC, you can get any apparel on the website using that link and using that code 15% off. So we're really excited about it, and hopefully you're out there too.
Yeah, the only thing that matters is the code, right? I mean, in reality, you go to Home Field Apparel and you type in DBR podcast and you get 15% off. I mean, that's pretty cool. And by the way, they've got a 91-92 national championship t-shirt that I haven't seen before. And frankly, I was there. I was actually in Minneapolis for the 1992 national title, but I was there for both of those. And man, I need that t-shirt.
There's also a 2001 championship shirt, which I already have. And let me tell you, it's great. I will say, Jason, you can go to Home Field Apparel and use the link, use the code, and get 15% off. But if you use our code, it helps support this show. So we encourage you out there to support this show by clicking on the affiliate link.
There you go. Sam Klein is also with us. Sam, you want to talk at all about what t-shirts you want to buy?
I was on the Home Field website earlier. Two things popped out to me. One was the ringer tee. It's like a white ringer with the blue ring. It's got a cool Blue Devils logo on the front. And then they also had a very sharp looking Duke basketball quarter zip that
I need that.
I might need to throw down for. I otherwise have nothing of major importance to note as it pertains to Duke basketball, but I have been, so we're recording on Wednesday evening. I've been at this music camp for the last few days ahead of this bluegrass festival that I'm at this weekend. And I'm basically, I think I talked about this a little bit. I'm basically at the equivalent of K Academy, but for bluegrass music. And at the end of Bluegrass K Academy, they take one group of campers who I guess are like a single band. If we're like the winner, we were the winners of the contest, would be like if we won the K Academy tournament. And the prize is the equivalent of getting to play a scrimmage at halftime at a Duke basketball game, because we're going to be up on the festival stage tomorrow playing a song. So if you happen to be at Delfest on Thursday afternoon, I'll be on stage at like 5:30 in the evening and playing music. That's pretty cool.
Go Team Sam.
And if you listen to this afterwards, then I'm sorry you missed what was probably, you know, my greatest performing arts achievement.
All right, guys.
You guys don't need to react to any of that.
No, it's awesome. I do feel like we've talked about bluegrass a pretty fair bit on the podcast lately.
We've been getting emails about it. This is my biggest contribution to the show.
No. All right. But let's get to the Duke news, because this is a bites. This is a shorter episode. We should be moving along a little bit quicker. And the first thing we want to mention is this. Just a couple days ago, John Shire tweeted out an image. And it is an image that immediately caught my eye, because if you listen to, I forget what episode it was, Donald and I were on, it was like 10 or so episodes ago, something like that.
It was only a couple episodes ago, but yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it was a while ago. Mm-hmm. Donald and I talked about Duke's academic progress report, Progress, The number that we got from the NCAA, that was a very disturbing number, that showed that last season, not the season that just ended, but the season that ended a year ago in the Final Four, that the Duke basketball team did very poorly in their spring classes. And that it appears that, you know, we don't know for certain, but it appears that the players who went off to the NBA may not have bothered to finish up their classes before they went off to the NBA. Look, we're not going to get into, if you want to hear all the debate about that, you could go listen to it. But it is a serious issue for Duke basketball, because the NCAA tracks this stuff. The NCAA pays attention, and potentially teams can be penalized scholarships and even get postseason bans. Yes, it is possible that teams can be barred from performing in postseason tournaments if their academic progress report number is bad. And Duke's was pretty bad. So John Shire, just a couple days ago, tweeted out that in the spring semester, Duke had four players on the ACC all-academic team. They had six players get a GPA of 3.5 or better. They had 12 players on the team got GPAs of 3.0 or better. And he specifically noted that Kyle Filipowski led the team. His GPA was 3.925. Gentlemen, I never got a 3.925 when I was at Duke. And I don't think I ever came close to a 3.925. I know there's been some great inflation over the years since the 1980s, but that's still a really impressive number. We came on here a couple weeks ago and told you we were concerned about how Duke was doing academically. And I want to, in the interest of fair time, I want to mention that it appears that the 2022-23 Blue Devils knocked it out of the park academically. Sam, give me some reaction.
Do you feel like, and I don't know, is this sacrilege to say, is it possible that in his last couple of years, Mike Krzyzewski may have slipped on a couple things that otherwise he would have kept very tight during the majority of his reign as the head coach of Duke men's basketball? Like, just, I'm not saying it was intentional or anything like that, but maybe things slipped a little bit. And this is another indication that I've told you we've seen many of over the last 6-8 months, that John Shire is locking everything down, and that, you know, there's sort of nothing to worry about on the transition front from Coach K to John Shire. And this tells me that, if anything, potentially things are getting better.
So I don't know that it's that Coach K slipped for a couple years, but I think it is very possible that in all the hoopla, the celebration, everything surrounding the final season of Coach K's career, that academics may have slipped through the cracks a little bit. I don't know that, you know, as you look at the numbers, I don't know that it looks like it's been something that's going on for a few seasons. And Sam, I think you may have, maybe there's another conversation to be had about just in general, what was going on with the Duke program the final few years of Coach K's reign. But I feel like March, April of last year, I could definitely see how stuff maybe slipped through the cracks. Let me let Donald get in really quick, and then Sam react.
Look, I think, first off, to touch on that, the last 3 years of Coach K's tenure, I mean, think about it. We had 21-22. We had a 2021 season where we had a guy leave in the middle of January, leave the team, and we had COVID the year before that, and we had to deal with the after effects of COVID during that 2020-21 season. So it was a lot, and I again, as I mentioned on that show, I'm not going to, you know, point the finger at any one player on the team, because they are a team. And as a team, you either succeed or fail as a team. I'm here to tell you that I'm very glad to report that this team here in the spring semester has succeeded in the classroom as a team. Everybody's getting the job done. And whether they listen to our show or not, and because that was in the middle of you know, reading period / finals, I don't care. They got the job done. And I am not going to tell you that this is something that should be expected, right? We demand it. We ask for it. But there's a lot that goes on, and we'll talk about it in the mailbag episode, because there was a great question I want to save for that. But I do think that these guys have a lot going on in their lives, a lot more than we can ever imagine. And for them to step up to the plate and get it done in the classroom with such exemplary marks is great. I mean, we've talked in the past, you know, we said we have a degree from Duke University, but we don't know how we really got it, right? And neither do we care. That piece of paper is the greatest piece of paper I have in my house, and I did not get 3.925 to do it, but Kyle Filipowski did. 3.0s, 3.5s. A lot of these guys excelled in the classroom. I am extremely happy to not only hear that they did it, but for John Shire to be out front and say, hey, these guys, you know, we had a good year in the court and we had an even better year in the classroom. Let's keep that going.
And look, I will echo that I never achieved a 3.925 in any semester that I was at Duke. Granted, I was in the engineering school, but it was certainly possible. I had friends that got straight A's. I didn't. So props to Kyle Filipowski, even if it was, you know, all bonkistry that he took this term or something.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we've got another topic we're going to get to on the DBR Bites episode. That is the future of the ACC. Some interesting news about how we're going to keep everybody happy in the age of spiraling. What would you call it? Spiraling, I guess. Revenues. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Money.
I'm stumbling to the break. Here it is. We'll be back. All right, we're back from the break, guys, and we want to very quickly touch on some news that came out just a short time ago. The ACC says that they have agreed, all the different commissioners, all the different schools, all the different school presidents, they've agreed that they're going to share revenues differently than they have in the past. Now, they don't have the exact nature of this plan hammered out and figured out yet, but they have at least agreed that teams that earn extra money through championships, and I think that what that's specifically referring to is the NCAA basketball championship and the college football playoff. Teams that earn extra money through those championships will get to keep a lot more of that money than they did in the past. In the past, the way the ACC did things was, if Duke makes a Final Four, everybody in the conference gets more money, and Duke actually doesn't get more money than the other teams in the conference. It's a sharing situation. Same thing in the BCS playoff when or college football playoff when Clemson would go far or win a national title, they would get the same amount of money as the team that was in last place in the conference. So the conference now is going to go to a model where if you succeed, if you have success in the postseason, you get to reap the spoils of that. Probably not all the spoils, but a healthy percentage of them. And this is a way to keep schools like Clemson and Florida State and Miami and North Carolina happy, because those schools were very agitated and very upset as they see revenues from the Big Ten and the SEC getting way, way, way ahead of what the ACC is paying out. Donald, I'll go to you first. What's your reaction to this news? I got no problem with it. How about you?
I don't really have a problem with it. I think the one thing that I will caution for those schools out there that have been screaming for this, the Clemsons, the Florida States of the world that have been screaming, we want more money, we want more money, we want revenue sharing to kind of, you know, balance out whatever deficit they may think they have. I would highly encourage them to not scream and instead speak in an inside voice. Why? Because hard times hit hard and they can hit all of a sudden. So, you know, as Sam has mentioned many times on this show, the Clemson of today was not the Clemson of 2010. And I'm going to tell you, the Clemson of 2010 would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Revenue sharing, we need to be splitting that equally, because they were not good at football as they are today. So I think it's great. And honestly, funny enough, the way Duke has been playing the last few times they've been to a bowl game, they've won the thing. So they would reap from this from the football perspective. And of course, Duke on the other side in basketball would be able to get more money out of it when they get to the Final Four and advance far in the NCAA tournament. So yeah, it maybe gives more incentive for these teams to really knuckle up and play hard.
And that just doesn't apply to Duke football, which, you know, is playing in the small stadium, but at this point is probably not the worst program in the ACC. So as you say, Donald, I think it does make every ACC program feel like they need to be more competitive, both in football and in basketball, where, you know, Duke has been to a Final Four recently. North Carolina has been to a Final Four recently. I know, Donald, Miami went to a Final Four this year, so I'm going to leave them out of the snide comment I'm about to make, which is, sorry, how does Florida State benefit from this new revenue sharing model? I would have said Miami if it hadn't been for the 2023
that's fair.
Final Four. So
that's, you probably still can.
That's for you. That's for you, my friend. But I do wonder, like, for Clemson, great. This is certainly going to mean more money for them. Florida State, I don't know that this placates them unless they win. And so if you're sort of rooting for the conference to continue, you kind of got to root for, you know, at least in the back of your mind, these programs that are the sexy ones, at least as far as TV eyeballs go, to win a few more postseason games, because that will keep them fat enough and happy enough that they won't, you know, maintain the saber rattling and the, you know, desire to move to other conferences. I agree that I think that Duke is going to be a, you know, net winner from this. Certainly Duke should continue to be one of the best performers in the basketball tournament. And look, if the first year of the Mike Elko situation means anything, and if bowl victories and bowl appearances matter here, then I actually feel pretty good about Duke in this going forward. I do wonder if you like, this is similar to the deal that Texas got with the Big 12 a few years ago, and has resulted, as we all know now, in Texas eventually deciding to leave the Big 12 for the SEC. So this may be more of a stay of execution on the conference than it is like putting it completely to sleep, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, Sam. I think that this probably placates the Florida States, the Miamis, the Clemsons, and the other schools that were complaining. It probably placates them for a couple years, you know.
For now, yeah.
Yeah. But the reality is, even if you are a Clemson and you make the national championship game in college football, you're still probably going to be falling behind all the schools in the SEC and all the schools in the Big Ten, because the new contracts, the new TV deals that those two conferences have signed are incredibly lucrative and are going to be distributing revenues at an escalating pace compared to ACC and Big 12 and Pac, whatever. Is it Pac 12? Pac something, something. There's going to be no comparison. And sure, maybe this deal will make these schools happy for a couple more years, but the moment the SEC or Big Ten formally offers an ACC school, you're probably going to see that ACC school say sayonara, because the revenues are just, you know, the
they can
it's
do
too
math.
Great. It's too big. Yeah.
The math ain't mathin', then you got to go where the math is mathin', and it is in the Big Ten and the SEC.
Did they teach you that, Donald, when you graduated from Duke with a GPA that was not a 3.925?
I learned that from the School of Hard Knocks, and also the School of Tower View Road. So yeah, you're right.
All right, guys, we're gonna sign off here. We'll be back with you. Like I said, we'll be in your feeds very, very soon. We got the mailbag episode coming up in the next day or so. But for now, for Sam and Donald, I am Jason. Hey, write to us. We want to hear from you. dbrpodcast@gmail.com. Like Donald said at the beginning of this episode, we want you to click on our links in our link tree and get your discount at Home Field Apparel and everybody else, Fanatics and the such. We got it all there. So again, for Donald and Sam, I am Jason. Thanks for tuning into the latest edition of DBR Bites. This is the Duke Basketball Roundup, and this is the Duke Band. Play us out and take us home.